All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dome podcast. All right, some news come down the pipe this week. Three new signings. Brad Treliving to spend a cool $3.5 million in a matter of what, 48 hours? No big deal.
Burning a hole in his pocket.
$3.5 million gone within a matter of 48 hours on, well, let's break it down. Let's start with the biggest signing, Eric Branson. One-year deal, $1.95 million. Whew. Take it away.
I mean, what do you even say at this point? Like, I know, I don't know how, are we stuck in a time loop here? Like, what is this?
Well, it is. It's Groundhog Day, dude. Every single offseason is the exact same thing.
Like, straight up.
It's going to be a big shakeup. Expect some big shakeups here in Calgary. And this is it. This is the big shakeup. You lose your best defenseman. You finally address your top six right after losing your best defenseman. And then you just sign a whole bunch of 13th and 7th. 13th forwards and 7th D-men around up the rest of the offseason.
Like, number
exact
one.
Same thing. Yeah. Exact same thing. Every single year. I mean, we had Kent Wilson on. We talked about it. It's a time loop. Groundhog Day. Expect the exact same thing year after year.
And I've talked to a lot of people who were like, oh, just wait. Like, there's still plenty of time left. Brad can still do something. Like, just wait. Just wait till you see his full plan unveiled. It's like, guys, like, I honestly feel bad if you're still getting duped by Brad Treliving and thinking he's going to do anything different, because like, this is exactly what he did last year. And this is exactly what he did the year before, like to a T. It's almost unbelievable how he can continually do this, especially when, like you said, like, okay, If this is your strategy, sure. But like, don't come out after every season and say how much everything's horse shit and you're going to look at it and you're going to make major changes and then proceed to do nothing. So I don't know, man. And the other thing too, is like, do we not say this? Like, everyone's like, oh, see all the money they got with Gio's contract gone. Here we go, baby. I was like, hold up. He's going to spend this money very irresponsibly.
Yeah. Well, people were arguing, you didn't lose Gio for nothing.
You got the cap space.
Oh, yeah, totally worth it.
Okay, well, you just spent
all of it. More than half of it in a matter of 48 hours on Michael Stone, Eric Branson, and Brad Richardson.
And like, the other thing is too, like, this is what boggles my mind. Like, sign Stone and call it a day. Sign Lewis and call it a day. You don't need Lewis
and Richardson. No.
You don't need Stone and Goodbranson.
No, he's the collector, man.
It's like last year. It's like, you don't need to sign Nordstrom and Simone. Pick one. It's like the year before. You don't need to sign Reeder and Ronaldo and acquire Lucic. Pick one.
Guaranteed, if you go to this man's place of residence, whether it's, he's got like, I bet you he puts on a front. If you go into his house, like as a guest, everything looks neat and tidy. And then he's got probably like three secret rooms where he's just like, you walk in there and it's like a scene from Hoarders. Just stacks of shit piled to the ceiling. You got fucking all the corners of the rooms just piled up with trash. This guy can't, he's a collector, dude. Like, he can't help himself.
It just blows my mind, man. And like, okay, like the thing that I still don't understand is like, I don't even mind if you sign these guys, but why are you signing them in the stead of pieces you need way before? Like, if you want to add to your bottom pairing defensemen like Goodbranson and Stone, that's fine, but take care of the real business first. Like, that's what blows my mind. It's like, there's still you lost Gio, you didn't replace Gio, and now you're spending your money on guys who don't need to be here.
Well,
you know,
everybody will argue, oh, people that are in favor of this junk will be a depth signing. It's a depth signing. Oh, yeah.
Well, we had this exact discussion last offseason when he was doing the infinity gauntlet of plugs of Simone and Nordstrom and Nesterov. And you and me are sitting here, and a lot of other people are like, this is so dumb. He does this every year. And then you have people coming out of the woodwork going, well, stop complaining. Shut up. Like, oh, you think Brett Ritchie's going to play? He's just here for depth, guys. Like, at maximum, he'll play like every few weeks. He'll just be there for depth. Nesterov's definitely not going to play all year over Mackey and Shillington and Valimaki. Oh, and you know, Simone, he's just there for depth. He's really good. These are all depth guys. Yeah, until they're playing the top six all fucking year. Like, it's down the stretch, and Shillington and Valimaki are sitting in the press box in favor of Nesterov and Stone. Like, so I'm sorry, that's a null and void argument. These guys are going to be used. They're going to be used way more than they should be, and you can't argue otherwise. This is what happens every single year.
There's been a lot of discussions on Sean Monahan and his drop-off, but I don't think anybody's even brought up the point that he's been playing with anchors on his wing that are not named Johnny Gaudreau for what, the past season and a half? Unless he was centering Lindholm and Gaudreau. Like, look at what he played with last year. Simone, Richie, Nordstrom. Was it Lucic? Like, who else?
He played with Lucic. He played with Dubé for a bit, but it's like,
like, you know, he's not the type of player that can carry his own line. So why are you saddling him with fucking 13th forwards?
I just don't get it. Like, and I mean, sure, like, it's just the same song and dance every offseason, right? It's like, Blake Coleman was fine, but same with last year. There was a few okay additions, but you didn't address the needs of the team, and then you spent a bunch of money that, again, like last year, oh, Brody's gone. They're going to, oh, just wait. They didn't lose him for nothing because they saved the cap space that Brody got.
Well, here's a conversation we had, I guess, late season when we missed the playoffs. How much money does Tyler Toffoli make?
Tyler Toffoli makes $4.5 million, or is it 4.25?
Double check it. I think it is 4.25.
Yeah, it's 4.25.
Tyler Toffoli, 30 plus goal scorer last season. Did he hit 40?
He was at what, 30? I'm prorated. You'd be like 40 for sure because it was a 40 goal scorer.
Even Josh Anderson, he makes a bit more. But let's use Tyler Toffoli as the example here.
Toffoli had 28 goals last year in 52 games.
28 goals, definitely a 30 goal scorer, maybe hits 40.
That's 44 prorated.
On a team that can't even fucking score. 4.25 mil. And we just spent 3.5 mil on a bunch of plugs.
And then if you really want to stretch it out, think about how much money we're spending between, somebody did the math the other day. I did the math as well. Between Lucic, and again, I'm not making this just about guys like Lucic. It's that you don't need Lucic and Richardson and Lewis, right? Like, you pick one, dude. So between Lucic, Pitlick, Richardson, Lewis, Gudbranson, all the guys they signed this offseason with Lucic and Zadorov included in that, you're spending over $15 million on guys who don't bring anything to your lineup except toughness. That's it.
Now, hey, we can't predict the future. Obviously, you look at all these signings in a nutshell. You look at the how it's worked out for us in the past. If we can look at the past as any indication of the future, this doesn't make any sense again. Now, we keep saying, look, there is one wild card in this. It's Daryl Sutter. And I guess that's where we're left. But why should we be left there? Why do we have to rely on, okay, Daryl Sutter might be able to make this all work? It's just like, why can't you just go out? I mean, there'll be people saying, yeah, but Toffoli wasn't available. Wasn't he? He wasn't available?
100% he was available. If you give him $5 million, you think he's not going to sign here? Here's a Daryl Sutter guy. You won how many? Two Stanley Cups with him? Why don't they go after Sutter guys like that?
No shit. Anyways, I mean, fuck. I just hate being in this position. It's just like, yeah. Unless Daryl can weave some magic here, we're fucked. Essentially, because we've got the same team rolling into next season as we did last season. Maybe we're worse on the defensive end, slightly better up front, and now we're just jamming everything with size and slowness right now.
Well, and the frustrating part to me is not even that, because they are moving forward with the premise that Daryl Sutter is going to make this team better, but don't you want to give yourself like a better chance? It's like, this is kind of like this feels like what a team with a budget would do, right? It's like, okay, given our very limited budget, we can only acquire this X amount of players, and we're hoping Daryl Sutter. It's like reverse Moneyball. It's like, how much money can we spend on the worst possible team available to us and then hope our coach can turn that team into a contender? Like, that's the idea. It's like, rather than putting the best possible roster forward and then letting your coach do the work, you're doing like the exact opposite. I just don't get it. And the other thing that just always frustrates me is the team's not any better. They maybe are worse, but it's like every year they don't get better. They don't get worse. They just kind of like shuffle the chairs around and then kind of, yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, like, I just don't like make the team better. Is the team better than it was last year? No. Is it better than it was the year prior? No. The year prior? No. Like, it's never been a incline or a build up or a lead up. It's no building. It's just like, yeah, let's see what happens.
And then you have to listen to Brad Tree Living after this season. Oh, what happened? Gotta dig to the carcass here.
Yeah, like, dude, Brad's surprised.
The carcass is already here before the season starts. We can tell you right up front what's probably going to go wrong. You don't need to sift through it for 5 weeks after the fact. I'll tell you right now.
And I mean, listen, like, again, not to like talk about how right a lot of like the Flames signed Chris Tanev last season. Was Chris Tanev really good? Yeah, he was. Did they make the playoffs? No, they sucked. So even if Eric Gudbranson is good this year, or Brad, if like end of the year and Tyler Lewis is like, or Trevor Lewis is like, yeah, he was pretty good. You know, like, it doesn't matter because it's not what the team needs to get better. At least not in a lot of our views. And we saw that last year, right? Oh, his priority was defense and goaltending. Well, sure, Markstrom played really good for the first bit of the season, and Tanev was great, and it didn't do shit because they didn't address the primary needs of the team.
At this point, this is year 7 now under Brad Tree Living. Your team has already entered their window. Unless you see some playoff success, I'm talking at least, what, 2 rounds? Like, what's a 1 round?
A 1 round is like, not enough.
Like, you're in, this is it, man. This is the culmination of 7 years' work, And we're sitting here with pretty much the same team we had last season, which wasn't even good enough to make the playoffs.
Well, and that's what the other thing that's kind of humorous to me is like, this is Brad Treliving going all in pretty much, right? Because he knows, like, this is his last shot. And give the man credit, man. He's going to go down with, he's going to put all his chips in on guys like Gudbranson and Lucic. Like, he's going down with his boys, apparently.
Yeah, he still obviously believes in this group, hey? Still believes in the grit and the toughness. Like I said, we don't know. Maybe they'll put something together, something magical. But it's going to be because of Daryl.
I don't want to be crossing my fingers for some magic beans. Like, that's what they're doing. They're pulling a Montreal or, like, at best, a New York Islanders, where they're just going to hope to get into the playoffs and squeak in, which is, like, that's not good enough at this point. And I know it's been the MO forever, but boy, it's just like, I'm so sick of like, okay, if everything goes perfectly right and Daryl Sutter squeezes the perfect amount out of this team, like maybe they can win a playoff round. Like, I can't believe we're still at this point. And like, it's again, like I was saying, if you want to sign Stone, fine, but like signing Gudbranson for $2 million when you have like no money is just nuts to me. You know, like, look at the other guys who make $2 million. Ryan Murray just signed in Colorado, $2 million. Sammy Vatanen makes $2 million. And like, would you rather have Jordy Benn at $900,000 or Eric Gudbranson at two? Like, I don't get it. I just don't.
Okay, so what does Gudbranson give you? Because if you're looking at his wins above replacement, this guy stinks defensively. I mean, he's
big and he hits. That's it. Like, that's it. That's it. So what he's giving you?
At least when you bring in a guy like Zadorov, he actually has pretty decent defensive analytic numbers.
Yeah, at least Zadorov can, you know, have a positive effect on suppressing shots and chances. Not the case with Gudbranson.
Could you imagine if these two play in a pairing together, like the amount of penalties are going
to
rack up?
Well, dude, here's who I feel bad for is Juuso Välimäki. He's going to have to poor guy had to drag around Nesterov all year last year and then get shit on. Everyone's like, oh, Välimäki sucks. Now he's going to have to drag around Eric Gudbranson because, like, he's going to play. That's where he's going to play. If you think this guy's not getting minutes, I think you're sorely mistaken.
Now, I think the Fan 960 had an interview with him. Gudbranson straight up said that Daryl called him during the offseason when free agency opened up. Is that what the timeline? Did I get that right?
Sounds like that was the case.
Does that seem kind of weird to you? I've never heard of a head coach calling players before. Again, this is obviously a Daryl Sutter decision, obviously, to bring in Gudbranson. Let's hope what the fuck he knows what he's doing. Because again, why don't you go through some of his metrics here?
I mean, his metrics are all terrible. Every last one of them.
So where does he? What percentile is he? He's pretty low.
Oh, I think by using Jay Fresh's wins above replacement model, he's like what in the sixth percentile, like worst in the league. He's well below replacement using the evolving hockey model, like. I just don't like he brings hits. Like, I think he's even in like the third percentile in terms of his overall impact by the evolving hockey model. So I know Mike from Flames Nation, Mike Gould, had an article up about it today. He says with Gudbranson on the ice last year, 5-on-5, the Senators were outscored 31-17. It's not very good.
So where do you see him slotting in? Like, can we hope he's going to be the seventh D-man?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be a rotation between him and Stone, no, on 6 and 7. What do you think?
Yeah, probably.
This team doesn't seem interested in playing Shillington. Connor Mackey gets a one-way deal, but he seems to be the odd man out in all this. Like,
how many more seventh D-men and 13th forward is Brad still going to sign?
My question, like, do they still have any roster space? There's still plenty of PTO. There's still plenty of time to invite, make his PTO list, man.
How does this guy get $2 million?
That's what I'm asking. Like, the Flames, like, I don't understand how you get $2 million when you look at what was on the market this year, but like below replacement level defensemen are pretty much free. And like, that's what I don't understand is like, you're telling me Mackey or Shillington can't produce better results. So it's just because of size and toughness. And like, I don't have a problem with size and toughness, but when you're paying $2 million for it, yeah, that's when it's like, what are you doing?
This signing is, this is what that is. You're literally paying for toughness only because he doesn't bring anything offensively. He sucks at his own end defensively. You're literally paying just for toughness. And I know you've said this a million times, but like, there's only a handful of GMs in this league still bringing out their pocketbook just to pay for toughness.
And just to pay a premium for toughness, like the diminishing returns, Kate, like how much toughness do you need? Richie, Lucic, Lewis, Richardson, Zadorov? Like, I know everybody's saying, oh, this team will be tough to play against. Yeah, but they won't be able to score or skate or do anything but fight. Like, I get having like one of those guys, but this feels like when Brian Burke was the GM and our fourth line was like McGrattan, Westgarth, and you had 14 fighters on the team. Like, pick one if that's something you value and don't pay a premium for it.
It's funny to see Brad triple down, eh?
Yeah, it's like, it's not
because what was it after last season for the Flames and whatever else it was, there's another playoff team in Toronto, right? They go out, they get tougher, they get more veteran leadership. Didn't work for them. You saw what happened to us last season. And we're sitting there like, okay, well, like, can we rule out the theory yet that you should probably start building a skilled team over a tough team in this day and age in the NHL? Yet here we are again, tripling down. So it's going to really take some Sutter magic, is what I think. I still think it's possible. I don't know. Like, did we get worse in the last 48 hours?
Well,
that's the real question here.
I think we got worse.
Did we actually get worse? Because look at how we allocated 3.5 mil. I think we might have.
Like, okay, like, Goodbranson is terrible. Stone was fine last year. It's like, I can't believe Michael Stone is the best signing of the day. Like, okay, Brad Richardson, sure, he brings you an element that like of defensive responsibility for a fourth liner, but like, you're telling me that you couldn't get a guy like Glenn Gauden to do that or have a young guy like you don't have enough guys who are just there for defensive value in the bottom six. You don't? Like, that's what they're all there for. So, and he's 36 for shit's sake.
It's funny how...
Don't get it. You don't need all of them. Pick one. Pick one or two even. You don't need 10.
Like, what you're saying is if you look at general managers in the league as a whole, there's upward trends happening in this league, which is like youth, speed, skill. Those are the upward trends. There's also downward trends. Age, slowness, right? And it's just like, There's plenty of teams and general managers in this league that are building their team on these upward trends. And then there's a handful that are still hanging on to these downward trends. And when those GMs make moves, it's just like your GM just made some moves and your team actually got worse. On paper, your team gets worse. I mean, we saw it up in Edmonton pretty much all offseason. It's like, what the fuck? This better fucking work. And if it doesn't, then I mean, what? We're back where we were last offseason. We gotta go through it for one more season again.
I just really don't get it. Like, and I mean, again, like, I'm not against toughness and stuff, but I mean, like, you can't just throw tens of millions of dollars at guys just because they're big and tough and think, yeah, it's gonna work. Like,
yeah.
Well, that's what they tried after the Colorado series. That was the takeaway from the Colorado series was we need to get bigger and tougher. And not only did it hurt the team as a whole, they've been terrible for 2 years since that switch in philosophy. So, and like you said, now they're quadrupling down on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you make the playoffs last year if Goodbranson is on the team? Like, no, you don't. You just don't. If you make the playoffs, if Lewis is on the team, I just don't understand. Like, I'm really trying to figure out what the hell is going through Brad Treliving's mind. And I understand, like you said, like, it seems like a Daryl Sutter thing. Like, I'm not, I don't know, because I would say, because everybody's like, oh, he's bringing in Sutter guys. You must know Sutter's the coach. It's like, this has been Brad's MO for years. Just bring in a bunch of shitty players before camp and call it a day. So, sure, they're Sutter guys now, but I think this ultimately comes back to Treliving's philosophy in general, or lack of philosophy. You know, like, he's done this three straight years where he just signs a bunch of guys who don't help the team and calls it a day.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if you had extra cap space and you're just like, okay, well, let's round out some corners. We got a pretty good group here. I mean, just to clarify the point we're making, we're not shitting on the players as individuals so much. Maybe a Gabranson a bit, because you're paying paying 1.95, 2 mil for a guy that is questionably, I mean, he's a below replacement player.
He's well below replacement.
So you're literally paying for toughness. I mean, the point in all this is, look, we don't know if it's not going to work. Yet we're sitting here saying, why did you spend 3.5 million when you have a perfect example of, why wouldn't you put that towards, you know, one player that might move the needle for you even just a little bit? These guys aren't going to move the needle. No. Is Michael Stone going to move the needle for you over an 82-game season? Hell no. Is Gabranson going to move? Like, what's he going to do? Beat some players up? That's going to move the needle for us?
Like,
Brad Richardson? I never heard of this guy. He's not moving shit.
I literally thought Brad Richardson had retired like years ago. I was like, he's still in the league? I had no clue.
I'd honestly go, I'd probably rather have Brad Richards.
I would. Oh, totally. How old is Brad Richards? I bet he's not even that.
Cole, you said Richardson's how old?
36. He turns 37 in February.
Never heard of the guy. How long has he been in the league for?
I guess he was. Yeah. But I'd rather have Brad Richards at age 41 than Brad Richardson at age 36.
Yeah. Just keep him on the power play.
And it's like you said, like, these guys don't move the needle. And I mean, even if you want to say, you know, well, they brought in Coleman, right? It's like, sure. But this, like, ring around the rosy shit where it's like, guys in, guys out, guys in, guys out. Like, we've lost Brody and Giordano in the last two seasons and haven't replaced either of them.
The thing is, you didn't add Coleman. You replaced Gio with Coleman.
Exactly.
Another lateral move.
Adding. Sure. Adding AD. D.
You addressed one need while subtracting your best defenseman.
Yeah.
Like, this. So, I mean, you didn't get better.
Exactly. Getting better is the problem. Like,
you're the same.
You're the same. Maybe you're better. Maybe you're worse. But you can't say you cannot look at me and say the Flames are a better team this year than they were last year, and last year than they were the year before. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know,
it's safe to say the Echo sweepstakes is over.
Yeah, I know. Okay, did you see that circulating? So somebody put out a report that's like, the Flames are, it looks like the Flames with the Gabranson and Richardson.
With the decision of,
it looks like the Flames are out of the Eichel sweepstakes, which they had been working on for a few weeks. It's like, oh yeah, big fucking surprise, eh? It's like, we almost got Eichel, but we couldn't make it work, so here's a bunch of guys who suck instead.
That is Brad.
Oh, how many times have I heard that? Oh, we almost got Mark Stone, but let's go get Fantenberg instead.
Okay, Brad Richardson, tell us about this guy.
And listen, like, again, like you said, I don't have any problem with these players in a vacuum. It's just like last season. It's like, sure, but
this is your philosophy.
But
this over is- he this is a philosophy Brad chooses to run with instead of building his team on upward trends.
Exactly. Instead of building the team. He's like a business who just has like so much turnover and never hired, you know, it's just like the shitty people just kind of come and go and filter through. And it's just like stagnancy all the time.
When really it's a management issue.
Exactly. It's like, you know, those,
you are the problem.
They say when your business, like a sign of a bad business is high turnover in staff, right? Like, well, there you go. It's just everybody in and out through the bottom six fucking years. I mean, sure, Brad Richardson, he's a Sutter guy, but I mean, why didn't they just stick with Lewis, right? Like, I don't get it. He's just a bottom six guy who can play okay defense.
So now what we have what, nine bottom six forwards now? Is that where we're at?
I think we're at like 15 by now, aren't we?
15 forwards, but 15 bottom
15 six. Bottom six forwards. Well, you can imagine the fourth line between Lewis, Lucic, Richie, Richardson. You know, like, why did they sign Brett Richie, right? Like, what do you need Richie and Lucic and Richardson for? You don't. You just so, don't.
Wait. Here you go. How much is Brett Richie making?
What does he make? 900?
So there you go. Those four, add Brett Richie to these three players. There's retired fully right there.
There you go. So would you rather have Brett Richie?
You telling me that your AHL team couldn't fill in the gaps if you went and got Tyler Toffoli?
Right. And that's
you need all these fucking 13th forwards.
You need the infinity gauntlet of crap, like every single year. I just like, I'm sorry to keep like repeating myself, but it's just.
Hey, as long as Brad continues to repeat himself,
you know,
we're going to have to continue to repeat ourselves.
Like, I mean, what happens when somebody gets hurt? Like, imagine Lindholm gets hurt. What are you going to do? You're fucked. What happens if Noah Hanifin gets hurt? You are fucked. So, like, it's just this team has just been, like, it's being held together with string. It's like building a house with tape. Oh, man.
Spiderwebs, dude.
I don't get it.
Held together with spiderwebs.
Like, bring the kids in. You want speed and energy.
No. No. We don't like developing in this club, in this organization.
Like,
you either have it when you're 18 or, well, you just play in the AHL for the rest of your life.
Like, can you imagine when McDavid
because
over the boards and Gudbranson is on the ice along with Lewis and Richie and Richardson? Like, it's going to be a nightmare, dude. Like, isn't that the other thing? Daryl Sutter's always talking about speed, moving the puck, playing with pace. These guys are slow as shit. Like, I think the Flames are again, everyone's like, oh, they're the toughest team in the league. They're also probably the slowest team in the league.
I don't know if I mentioned this on the last podcast, but the last time we recorded, I might have mentioned it, was right after the women's played that gold medal game in Canada.
Oh, yeah. I said this too. It's like the women would beat the Flames probably because well, they're so fast.
They wouldn't beat them, but they're legit faster than the
Canada. Oh, yeah. Line. Totally. They play with way more pace, and there's guys they can skate way faster. Like, it's not even a question.
Now, it's obviously not apples to oranges. It's bigger ice, and they're playing against smaller competition, but still. The pace of the game is faster than a national hockey team. So anyhow, I mean, do you want to spend much more time on this? Like,
I don't know. Like, how much more do you say? Like, I know everyone is.
If you're a newer listener, I mean, maybe you haven't heard this before, but this is the same shit. We're just repeating ourselves. Broken record for the last 2.5-3 years. Because the GM is doing the exact same thing. He hasn't changed his modus operandi at all.
Well, they haven't learned from their mistakes. He hasn't learned from their mistakes at all. Like, not, like, at all. Like, didn't he see, like, the first time he tried this philosophy, which was after the great season of 2018, 2019, and it didn't work at all, he should have said, you know what, that didn't work. Okay, I need to learn from what I did. Instead, like you said, he doubled down on it. Didn't work spectacularly. Now he's tripling down. It's just, like, I'm at a loss here, man. Like,
I like how he, at first, he was taking his big gambles with like players that are hard against players that are hard to play against, like Troy Brouwer, James Neal, apparently. And now, instead of taking these bigger risks on players that actually have had success, he's just taking smaller risks. All these little plugs.
Well, and you know what? That's what it is, right? He's managing in a risk-averse fashion, right? Because what is more risky? Trading Sean Monahan, and maybe Sean Monahan's great and you get somebody back who's not as good and the salary doesn't work out and then you get canned, or bringing in a bunch of tweeners and shitty guys on cheap one-year deals, spending to the caps. You can go, look, I spent to the cap, signing Blake Coleman to see, look, I addressed the need in the top six, and just crossing his fingers that Daryl Sutter can squeak a playoff round out of this team so he can keep his job. That's what it is. It's risk aversion management from Brad Treliving right now. Like, what, look, again, somebody said this, I thought this was a really good point. I think this was, where was this? I saw it on Twitter. It was like, look at it this way. Like, is spending $2 million on Gabranson and giving up a third and then spending almost $4 million on Zadorov. Is that worse than giving up a first and a third for Gio and keeping Gio? Probably. So, but which is more risky? Which would make more headlines? Bradtree Living gives up a first and a third to protect 38-year-old Mark Giordano.
Still the team's best defenseman.
Or, like I said, when he's getting all... Yeah, still the team's best defenseman. He's getting patted on the back for making the unemotional business decision to not pay that price and then make shitty moves. So it's just like the shady under the surface stuff that, like, if you just sit back and analyze it, it's just all Bradtree Living is trying to do is save face and minimize risk. That's it. And like, it's no wonder we haven't won a playoff round in 6 years.
Like when we did last off season, heading into last season, our biggest question mark was Jeff Ward, right? And we said, look, we need basically a miracle. Jeff Ward needs to somehow, like, what would that have taken? I mean, if he would have had to have some sort of complete evolutionary process happen in a small time frame for him to get from the amateur that he was at the start of last season to being good enough to influence his team to take him to the next level. Never happened. I feel like we're sitting in a very similar situation. We're just like, if Daryl Sutter can't work magic, we could miss the playoffs again. And if he can work magic, then we're probably got a good chance to be a playoff team and maybe win a round. But apparently this is the end of our window. So
yeah, but that's years, right. Like that's your bracket of success. It's either miss the playoffs or like maybe you miraculously win a playoff round or two. Like
that's it. Seven years of building. That's the goal, right? After 7 years of building. Like, why don't we just rebuild?
Exactly. Like my question to people who are kind of like, you guys stop being so negative, wait and see. It's like, what is honestly in reality, what is the absolute best case scenario of this season? Best case this season.
I think best case is you win one round.
Is that good enough for you after 7 years?
No.
And what are we doing here? And what's the worst case? We missed the playoffs. Again.
That's why it's frustrating to see the exact same moves that haven't worked for however long you want to go back being played out again, leading up into this. Why didn't you just go get Eichel?
Because that's risky and you have to, you know, put your neck out there and make a big time risk and maybe it doesn't work out.
Like look at Masai Ujiri.
Exactly.
He trades probably the team's best player at the time in DeRozan for what a lot of people, I mean, there people were on the fence with this. You know, Kawhi Leonard had all these injuries, it wasn't a slam dunk of any sort that it was going to work out, but then it works out. Like, what would be the alternative? Like, if Masai Ujiri is Bradtree Living, then what is it? He keeps DeRozan and Lowry for 7 fucking years.
Yeah.
And just keeps rotating all
these. But doesn't get them any help at all.
Just keeps rotating fringe players around them year after year after year. Same situation.
So, and yeah. Again, you can think these signings or whatever, like the Flames are going to need not only a miracle, but they're going to need everybody to stay healthy. Johnny Gaudreau is going to have, like, I don't know who's going to score goals on this team unless Sean Monahan has a miraculous turnaround and becomes the player he once was. And Johnny Gaudreau is, and Matthew Tkachuk finds a new level. They're going to have a hell of a time scoring goals.
Well, that's just the offensive side of the game.
And again, like everybody's like, oh yeah, the Sutter defense. I mean, that defense is still pretty rank, man. So the system is going to help. Sutter's going to help, but this team is not going to do much this season. And it's just a bummer to continually see this rolled out. Like, and did anybody not see this coming?
No, that's what we all joked about. It's probably going to happen. And then
like, I honestly feel bad for because I put a poll out on Instagram. I was like, are you surprised that this dweeb didn't do anything? And a lot of people are like, yeah, this bitch tricked me. Again, he tricked me. He's the Wizard of Oz back there tricking me. And that's what he does. He talks like there's that article from right after the Flames season ended. he's in the front page of the Sun or SportsCenter or whatever it was. And it's like, we need to make changes. That's what it said all year. You heard his interview on 960 earlier in the year where he's going off being Mr. We're horse shit. These guys need to play better. Or there's changes coming, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't do anything. Every year.
Yeah.
And again,
hopefully swapping Mark Giordano for Blake Coleman is good enough to take this team to the next level. Because that's all
what
he did.
What level? What's the next level?
That's all he did. That's it.
Win more than games than the Ottawa Senators? Is that the next level?
Be above 500. That's the next level.
Is that the next level? Not be a below 500 NHL team? Wow. That's the next level, baby.
Yeah. We do. We usually do an off season, like a preseason podcast on all the things that need to go right. We'll still do that. We're touching on some of them today.
Everything.
But yeah, it is. It's going to be pretty much everything across the board. needs to go right. To be a team that can actually potentially do something in the playoffs.
Everything needs to go right and nothing can go wrong. Like, it's pretty nuts, man.
Look, if you want to, and again, we always have those conversations, where's your bar set at?
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the biggest thing that we've noticed in Calgary is the bar is really fucking low. So if you want to talk about winning a Stanley Cup, after 7 years of one GM, 7 years work has brought us to this moment. What needs to happen this year for this team to see success and let's say win a Stanley Cup? A fucking miracle. That's it. They need a fucking miracle. They need to have a miracle happen like what happened in LA. I mean, they got the same coach. So that's what it would take for this team to win a Stanley Cup. Now, what would it take for them to make it to the finals? Another miracle Cinderella run. That's what it would take. Like, you're not sitting here looking at Tampa Bay. What is it going to take for them to get to the finals? Way different conversation. They don't need fucking miracles, right? They just have like a list of five things probably.
Well, and why? Why don't they need a miracle? Because they're good and they've spent like 10 years building a really good team. And if you go to Cap Friendly right now and check out how much money everybody's spending. Like the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're over the cap right now. They have $88 million projected. Like, are they only $6 million better than the Flames or $5 million better than the Flames? Because that's how much money difference between the two. Like, the Flames are currently spending more than the Vegas Golden Knights.
You mean they're only like a Lucic better?
Yeah. They're spending more than Vegas. Here's a list of teams the Flames have more dollars committed to this upcoming season. Vegas, Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston, Florida, St. Louis, Colorado.
All better teams.
All those teams are like so much better than us. It's not even funny. So like, oh man. It's pretty weird, man.
Well, for the next podcast that we do, the preseason, we'll try and stay more positive. We will. But.
Well, I don't even think it's being positive, man. It's like, what are we supposed to do with this? Like, what are you supposed to do when it's the same thing for 3 years? And that's what I don't understand. Like, you said the bar being low. Like, it's been, like, if you've been a Flames fan for a long time, it's been 30 years of this. Like, honestly. Like, you had 2004. That was it. That's literally, like, it's not like, I know people don't want to get bogged down in negativity and shit, but it's... You can't argue with the results. You just can't. And it just feels like Groundhog Day. It feels like spinning your tires endlessly when trying to break down what this team is trying to do. And I mean, of course, I'm going to be watching every single night and I'm going to be cheering when they win and pissed when they lose. But it's just hard to get on board with a team that has no direction and no vision every year.
Yep. The only direction of vision is keep doing what hasn't worked. Okay,
yeah, cool. Like, last thought on this is, like, I remember when Sutter was GM, everybody trotted this quote out like, and the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, which is like an Einstein quote. I mean, you know, is anybody going to throw that Brad Schilling's way? Like, all right.
It seems to me I was keeping an eye on Twitter the last few days with all these new signings, and it seems to me the consensus is people are pretty much done with Brad.
Yeah, people are fed up.
So I don't see if there's not some serious out of the left park success this season, how does he even finish his last year in his contract?
There's no excuse for it, right? Like,
unless your bar is really that fucking low, which I think it is. So,
well, it is. Like, if they make the playoffs, he'll be back.
Okay. Any more to talk about that before we get to our player panel?
I feel bad for Connor Mackey and Oliver Shillington and Glenn Godden and Matthew Phillips.
All these players that could be NHL players. They could be. They really could. And all their analytics support it. But you'll never fucking find out in Calgary. That's for damn sure.
Never. So, yeah, I'm kind of exasperated at this point.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Hey folks, the In the Dome podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, and this week we're sponsored by DraftKings Sportsbook, only available in the States. So if you're in the United States, listen up. You don't want to miss this. Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started in the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly. Head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, place a bet of $1 on any week two game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook's not available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit, and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Okay, welcome back to part two. We got a very special player panel here. We got Sean Monahan joining us. Mark Giordano's back. Johnny Gaudreau. And then we have Brad True Living. Brad, are you still there? You didn't get too scared?
Jordan, you know, it's been a
okay. Off-season. Thanks, Brad. Thanks, okay, Brad.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, Jordan. You're very welcome.
We also have Eric Francis joining us. Eric Francis, do you know how hated you are? Eric.
Hey, hello.
Do you know, my first question, everybody is dying.
Johnny Gaudreau is such a pussy. Oh, can you guys hear me?
Eric, we can't hear you. Please mute yourself. Now let's go back to some players here. I wanted to open up this with you, Mark Giordano, because apparently you're still in the city. Is that correct? Straight out of Calgary, put out a tweet yesterday saying that his cousin saw a bunch of players in a restaurant yesterday. It was Hanifin, Lucic, Monahan, Dubé, and Lindholm at a restaurant with you, Mark Giordano. What are you doing in Calgary?
Oh, well, fuck. I had to come get my my golf tournament, and holy fuck. Oh, I had to see Lucic. Oh, he's my best friend, right, Milan? Yeah, oh.
Did you have any words with Brad? Are you guys still on talking terms at this point?
Well, Brad is such a good guy. Yeah, he's such a good guy. He just, you know, he told me, he told me he really loves me, and then he really loves me. So, Brad, great guy. Brad is, holy fuck.
Now, this is a panel. I will get to everybody, but before we get to you, Brad, I'm curious. Sean Monahan, you're also a leader on this team. You have the assistant captaincy. One of the leaders for a few years now. What's your take on this losing Mark Giordano at the expansion draft?
Well, yeah, Mark's such a great guy. And, well, yeah, it's just kind of like, well, yeah, Brad's got to do his job. And, I mean, that's not really my job. And, you know, my job is to play hockey, you know. So it starts on October 12th. And, yeah.
And Johnny Gaudreau, are you kind of in the same sentiment there as Sean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, well, yeah, you know, Gio's little guy there, Jack, yeah, it's like everybody's best friends and, yeah, looking forward to a great season. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Brad, I mean, it sounds like you got the support of the players here. Can you walk us through what happened in the decision-making process? Was it something that, you know, you had to really think about for a few months or?
Well, you know, you gotta. What you do is it's a carcass. So, what you do is you look at it, Jordan, and then you look at it again, and you just look at a lot of things, and you never stop looking.
Did you have to
kind
consult?
Of like?
Sorry,
well,
to interrupt.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Did you have to consult the grocery list at any point in the decision-making process?
You know what it's like, Jordan. When you're, you know, at the grocery store and you need some soup, and then you realize you forgot your wallet, and then you got to run home. You know that's what it's like managing a hockey team. That's what it's like. So you know.
So okay, thanks, Brad. If there's anybody that might have something negative to say about the process, maybe it's Eric, where do you stand with this whole losing Mark Giordano process here?
Mark Giordano is a pillar in the community, and if he had it his way, I know he wouldn't say this, but he would have Johnny Gaudreau shipped out on the first ship out of Calgary. That's all I can tell you. Mark Giordano, when he's playing for Seattle, he is going to be headhunting Johnny Gaudreau because he's such a piece of shit. It's unbelievable. They lost a great man today. If only they could have lost Johnny Gaudreau in this expansion draft. Let me tell you, because that guy is a piece of human garbage.
Okay. Thanks for answering the first question, everyone. Let's move on to the next question here. Sean, I got to be honest, you've been a real sore spot here for the fan base for the past year and a half, at least, I would say. What's happened, man? I mean, your game has really tapered off. Has it all just been injuries or, I mean, what's going on?
Well, yeah, you know, there's things that, you know, happen and, you know, yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, it's like, well, I started last night and talked to Daryl and I think it doesn't matter what happened the last year. It's all starts on October 12th. So it doesn't really matter to me. It's October 12th.
Johnny, what about your perspective? I mean, you've played with Sean most of your career. What have you seen? Why does Sean suck so bad now?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's like you said, it starts on October 12th, and yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Mark, Giordano, like, I get it, you're not the captain anymore, but do you have any advice for Sean how to get out of the slump? I mean, can he turn the season around in your perspective?
My best advice for Sean is just, you know, just to love the guys in there. Maybe talk to Luch. I know Luch would have some really good insights on, you know, like how to improve every day. And I just hope that, you know, I just hope this year that everybody gets along and has fun and, you know, has a great year together without me, I guess.
Hey, over to you, Brad Tree Living. I know, like, it sounds like Sean Monahan is one of those guys that's been on your trading block for about three seasons now. How come you're unable to pull the trigger time and time again? I mean, do you just get caught up at the restaurant there at Boston Pizza, just helping out the gang? Or, like, what's going on?
It's really hard to be an NHL GM here and, hard to make deals, you know, and in Sean's case, he's given everything for this team, and it's really hard to make, you know, the first thing they teach you in Boston Pizza Management School is, you know, that your job is harder than everyone else's job, and you should always come up with excuses for why you can't do your job. And you know, the team's been horseshit, I've been horseshit, but it doesn't really matter because we're going to be, there's a lot of belief in that room and they all love each other and love is everything, you know, like love wins.
Okay, well, I mean, well said. I hope that translates to actual success for once. Eric, you're a fringe journalist. You're such a badass, Eric. You really are. I mean, what's your take on Sean Monahan? Is he that big of a piece of shit?
Sean Monahan, if there was a list of biggest pieces of shit in Calgary who ever existed, the list would go like this. Number one, Johnny Gaudreau. Number two, Johnny Gaudreau. Number three, Sean Monahan. He's not a Sutter guy. He's not a Daryl Sutter guy. Daryl Sutter is going to hate Sean Monahan. He's going to take him out to the farm and beat his ass. And he'll never win in this league. He'll never win. He's scum. He's no good. This has been proven time and time again. I remember when he was injured, had four injuries in the playoffs, and he only scored four goals in five games. He only scored four goals in five games. Let me tell you something. That is not good enough when you're battling two broken wrists and two sports hernias and a hip problem. It's not good enough. This guy is so soft. He's got to be the softest player in the entire league. Get him out of Calgary. Why do you think Sidney Crosby does that? You think Sidney Crosby plays through injuries? No, he doesn't do that because he's a team player.
Well, I know there are some fans that share your perspective, Eric, but I think they're just as big as clowns as you are. Okay, moving on here. I'd like to shift things off the perspective of the players up to management here for a sec. Mark, last question before you move off to Seattle. What are your thoughts have been over 7 years with Brad Drew living? Has he really done everything to give this team, what it really needs to see success here in the city?
Well, I mean, it depends what you mean by success. You know, it's like, fuck. Pizza parties every Friday, pool parties over at Brad's house. It's just been, 7 years of just pure and utter fun. I mean, we've won dick all, and I mean, wow. But again, it all comes back to how you define success. I mean, we're all best friends here, and you know, like, Brad is such a nice guy. Like, fuck. What was the question again?
Let's just move on to somebody else, Gio. Thanks for your time. Sean, same question to you. Are you happy with having zero success over seven seasons with Brad Treliving? I know, I think it's only been six for you, but still, I mean, you guys have really struggled. Are you happy with where you're at?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, what does happy even mean, right? I mean, if you look it up in the dictionary, it probably means, you know, whatever the person wants it to mean. And it's just like, well, yeah, if at the end of the day, I'm producing and I'm doing what I need to do in the gym and I'm doing what I need to do on a nightly basis. And I'm ready to go on October 12th. And I mean, happiness is all relative, you know? So it starts on October 12th and that's the bottom line.
Johnny, I know you've had some really great personal success in the last few seasons, almost hitting 100 points. How would you rate your general manager? Has he really gotten you the players that you need to, you know, to really take you to the next level? I know you played a lot with Brett Ritchie last season, and I mean, he's a hell of a player. Some even think he's better than you are, but I mean, how has Brad really helped you succeed in this league?
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at it, you look back. I mean, I got to play with, Joe Colburn there for a little bit. And Joe's a great guy, a really top-notch player. Yeah, I got him a nice, sweet contract. And then, I mean, you know, I've dragged around Sean for 7+ years and made him a lot of money. But, yeah, that's been totally fine. If you're talking about, the year before, I loved playing with Troy Brower. Yeah, that was really fun. Is he even in the league anymore? Oh, I don't even think he's in the league anymore. Yeah, that's pretty funny. But that was really fun. Michael Ferland, oh, he was great. He's not even in the league anymore. Yeah, he was great too. Who else have I played with? Oh, I played with Lindholm on my right wing for a while there, but I guess that didn't work out, so they took him off the wing. Yeah, and they replaced him with Brett Ritchie. And, you know, Brett's been great, and I hope to get to play with him a little more. I'm really hoping to play with, you know, Brad Richardson or Tyler Lewis or all these other guys. Like, I mean, and God forbid, I never would want to play with, like, you know, Jack Eichel or Thomas Hurdle. No. I mean, yeah.
Well, I know there was a point last season when everybody was really sad to see Brett Ritchie taken off your line, because, I mean, I think he really made your game better. This is a two-part question. First, how What exactly did he do last season? Was it in practice? Did he push you? Because I just want to, I'm curious. We're really curious to know how Brett really, Richie, specifically made you a better hockey person last year. And then can you also speak to getting a chance to play with Matthew Tkachuk for once in your life?
Yeah, well, I've never actually played with Matthew before. Yeah, I know we've played together for six years now. But yeah, getting a chance to play with the other best player on this team was, you know, it was kind of fun. It paled in comparison. Yeah, to, you know, playing with Brett, and Brett just has a really good attitude, and you know, he plays really good music in practice, and you know, he's really good at dumping the puck in when I get it to him in the slot. So yeah, it was a really good experience. I think the fact that Brett is really big and can't skate, I think that really complements my game. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to maybe getting a chance to play with Matthew Tkachuk next year. I don't know if that'll happen if Coach Sutter wants that or not, because I know he's really good. I know he can score on all the feeds I give him, but that if only if it makes sense for the team, which is at the end of the day what I want.
Before we come to you, Brad, I want to jump over to Eric. Eric, listen, you tell us from your perspective, because you're the wise know-it-all. Like, seriously, you're the sage here in Calgary. Everybody respects you. How has Brett, guys like Brett Ritchie, Dom Simon, I can't even, who else am I thinking of? Tobias Reeder, all these players that we've seen just come and add those injections into the top six in the past two, three seasons. How lucky is a guy like Johnny Gaudreau to get to play with such an assortment of just great players?
All of these guys are winners at the end of the day, and Johnny Gaudreau is not. You look at Tobias Reeder. There's a guy in the playoffs who came to play every single night. Now, I mean, is he even in the league anymore? I think he's in Buffalo, which, like, you know, they prioritize guys who know how to win. So, I mean, there you go. There's a winner. There's a leader right there. Milan Lucic. You look at Milan Lucic's body language in that postseason press conference, all you could read from that body language is that Johnny Gaudreau is such a loser. He cannot win. That's the only takeaway you can have from the entire season, is that Milan Lucic is such a great leader, such a winner. He's a winner. His body language looks like a winner. You look at Johnny Gaudreau's body language, he is not a winner. That's all I have to say on the matter.
Brad, can we get your two cents? I mean, look, you're a big part of this reason why these players have you to thank, Brad, for all these, just the, you know, the handful after handful after handful of, you know, 13th forward, seventh defenseman, all these players just continue to make an impact on this lineup. Season after season, just continue to inject themselves up into that lineup and make all these top echelon players just even that much better. Brad, do you like to toot your own horn? Can I even ask you that question? Or what's been your take on all of this?
Well, Jordan, you come in here and what you try to do is you're either trying to look at things or acquire assets, and you're trying to do things right. And I mean, if you look at it, and then if you look at it again, and then you go to the grocery store and you look at it again, and you say, well, Brett Ritchie's available, and you just go, you're missing players everywhere year to year. And you know, all you got to do is if you compare your grocery list to your hockey team, then you really, that's a self-explanatory question. So we'll look at it, we'll look at everything, we're gonna look at absolutely everything this upcoming offseason except how to make the team actually better in the top six. But other than that, we will be looking at absolutely everything. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, well, no, but let's move on. The last question I have for the panel here, I mean, you guys have been all great, but my question for each of you, and I think we'll probably start with Sean Monahan, you're the new leader on this team. What is this team's goals for this season? Are you guys striving to make the playoffs? I know that Coach Sutter had mentioned that once he took over the group last season, that there wasn't actually any goals set for you guys. Is that a goal you guys have now, to make the playoffs? And if so, do you strive beyond that? Like, where are your sights set? And the second part to that question is, what do you need to do to achieve that goal this season?
Well, yeah, you always have goals, and yeah, it depends what you mean by goals, but you always have them. And I mean, if you're talking about my goals this year, I mean, if I had to choose, I feel like, you know, getting my laundry done on a daily basis and, you know, making sure, you know, that I take care of those types of things every day, that's only going to make me a better hockey player. So that's all that I can, do. And when it comes down to the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, except that I got to be ready to go on October 12th. And that's really all that it comes down to at the end of the day, when it all comes down to it. So.
Now, Mark, I know you're no longer going to be with this club, but from an outsider's perspective, and sometimes this is, you know, the most valuable perspective you can get. From an outsider's perspective, what is this? What should this goal team strive for, and how do they get there?
And well, I think I already answered your question. You know, it's like everybody just needs to be best friends, and that produces the best results. You know, like, fuck, like if everybody just loves each other, then it's not even going to be any problem. And you support each other in the room. And if Milan and Chris and Sean can all get along, then it's just going to be clear sailing. That's the only thing that matters.
Johnny Gaudreau, are you in the same sentiment there? Or?
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Okay. I think we'll skip the management on that question. We'll just wrap things up with a rapid fire here. Eric, who is the best player on this team?
Best player on this team. The best player on this team is Chris Tanev. Did you see what that guy did last year? He could lead this team single-handedly. If you replace Johnny Gaudreau with that would be my solution. I don't know about you guys. You put Chris Tanev on the top left wing and you will win the Stanley Cup. No doubt in my mind. But there really is no good players on this team. Everybody sucks. The entire organization sucks, except for the ones who give me information and pay my salary. Other than that, everyone sucks, except for the owners. They should move this team to Houston yesterday. Calgary is a piece of shit city. I don't even remember what you asked me. If I leave you with two words of wisdom, Calgary sucks. Johnny Gaudreau sucks. That's all I can say on the matter.
Okay, Eric. Okay, good. He's gone. Oof. What a guy, eh? Brad, who's the best player on this team?
Well, if you look at it, you look at it up and down, Jordan, it's everybody, because what we are in there is we are a team. We are not one individual player. We are every. Oh, my God. I totally forgot that Michael Stone. It's Michael Stone. Michael Stone will lead us to the promised land. We're a team, except for Michael Stone is in a echelon of his own. He's the best. He's got the best shot I've ever seen in my entire life. This guy could rival Al MacInnis. So first answer, the team. Second answer, Michael Stone.
Johnny Gaudreau, are you the best player on this team?
Yeah, I don't know. If, yeah, maybe. Maybe probably not. I look at a guy like, you know, like Lindy and it's hard to say. I mean, Chris is pretty good and yeah, I don't know if it's me. Yeah.
Hey, Mark, you again, outsider's perspective, now that you're gone, who's the best player on this team?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. Well, I mean, you look at what Michael Backlund has done. Oh man, he has been so good for this team for so long. It's just, everyone should be friends. I don't know. I can't say anyone who's the best. You're making me shy here, Jordan. Everybody's the best.
Okay, Mark. Well, all the best in Seattle. I'm sure you'll be back if this team is even sniffing around a playoff spot. We'll happily give up the first and the third after you've already played 2/3 of a season elsewhere. And as Sean, let's finish things with you. You're, again, you mentioned this, now that Gio's gone, you pretty much are the leader on this team. Who's the best player on this team, Sean?
Well, yeah, I don't like to get into specifics. I mean, all that matters is that we're ready to go on training camp opening. That's really all that matters. Nothing else matters other than being ready to go and starting on time and being ready to go. There's really doesn't even really matter. So all we have to do is do what's in our control and control what I can control. And the rest of it doesn't matter as long as I'm ready to go on whenever the season starts.
All right. So there you have it, folks. The round table with players past and present. And as well as Brad True Living and Eric Francis, everybody's favorite. Hope you guys enjoy the show. We're hoping to get another guest or two on here before the season starts, and we'll get into some preseason, whatever you want to call it, analysis for October 12th.
It starts on October 12th.
That's when it starts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.